السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Brothers, before we start, please come to the front. There are already some people standing up in the back. Please come to the front, particularly this side here, please. There are so many of our brothers outside in the sun. Please. Please come to the front. Those in the back, please come. Please come to the front, because some people will come and would want to take your place in the back. Jazakumullah khair. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. We thank Him and we seek His help and assistance and we seek His forgiveness. Wa na'udhu billahi ta'ala min shururi anfusina. And we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils that are within ourselves. وسيئات أعمالنا. and the evils that result from our misdeeds. مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ. Whoever Allah guides, no one shall be able to misguide him. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. And whoever Allah allows to go astray, no one shall be able to guide him. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not grant him light, there shall be no other source of light for him. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. And I bear witness that there is no God except Allah, that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على هذا النبي الكريم. Allah, bestow your peace and blessings upon this noble prophet, وعلى آله وصحابته, and his family and companions. وأحينا اللهم على سنته. And Allah, make us live according to his way of life, according to his sunnah. وأمتنا على ملته, and make us die according to his deen and his religion. وحشرنا في زمرته. And resurrect us amongst his followers, مع الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء, together with those whom you bestowed your favors upon them, from the prophets, righteous martyrs. وحسن أولئك رفيقا. And best indeed are those as company. أما بعد أيها الإخوة المسلمون, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Today I have completed your religion for you, and I have completed my favors upon you, and I approved Islam for you as religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, it shall not be accepted of him, and then in the hereafter he shall be amongst the losers. We continue to talk, brothers and sisters, about this very important call of Islam, the call we just heard just now, and we hear five times a day. It is so important that we need to realize what is the intention of that call. We should not let it just go pass by, as many of us appear to do so. And because of the importance of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not only make it as just a pure reminder of the time of the prayer, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a message in it. If the intention was for this adhan to be just a reminder of the call of the time of the prayer, it would have been like bell ringing, like other religions do, or blowing in a trumpet, or maybe beating drums or something, some noise that would, or a loud sound that would remind people of the time of the prayer. But the intention is not only to remind each and every one of us of the time of the prayer, but there is an important message, not only addressed to the Muslims, but everybody, including non-Muslims who are hearing this call. It is telling them what Islam is and what Islam wants them to do. And in view of the importance of that adhan, in the Day of Judgment, the muezzin, the caller to the prayer, he will be amongst the people who would be having the longest necks in the Day of Judgment. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, الْمُؤْمِنُونَ أَطْوَلُ النَّاسِ أَعْنَاقًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The muezzinin, the callers to the prayer in the Day of Judgment, will be amongst the people with the longest necks. Longest necks, next is a form of beauty at that time. It is a form of beauty at that time. Yes, last Friday we talked about the first portion of the adhan, which is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the most great. And we explained, how is it that every time I hear Allah is the most great, how should it impact my life? How should it impact my daily life at home, at work, in the farm, in the factory, wherever I may be? This is the intention of the adhan, is to really impact your life. And we mentioned, if Allahu Akbar, Allah is the most great, impacts your life, then you should really feel that there is no one or nothing greater than Allah in this entire universe in your heart. There is Allah is the greatest in your heart. Nothing can ever occupy your heart and would be greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then this actually will put things in perspective for you when you are dealing with people or dealing with things, even when you are dealing with what your inner self is asking you to do. You are constantly saying, who's bigger in my heart? What my inner self is inducing me to do, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And today, we would like to talk about the second portion of the adhan, which is Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Starts Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Meaning, I bear witness that there is no God in this entire universe except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah. Many of the non-Muslims, they would say, who's Allah? Many of them, who don't really know about Islam, they think Allah is probably something, an object, or a human being, or an idol that Muslims worship, because they themselves do that. Because they themselves, either they worship a man, a prophet, or they worship a stone, or they worship a tree, or they worship an animal. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about himself in the Quran. And he tells us about himself in the forms of Asma'ullah al-Husna, Allah's perfect names. Asma'ullah al-Husna, the word al-Husna in Arabic, also means the most beautiful names, means the most beautiful and most complete and most perfect qualities and characteristics. The most perfect of those are attributable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is Allah that we are calling upon? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم صدق الله العظيم. He is Allah. Other than whom there is no deity, knower of the unseen and the witnessed. He is the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. He is Allah. Other than whom there is no deity, the sovereign, the pure, the perfection, the bestower of faith, the overseer, the exalted in might, the compeller, the superior. Exalted is Allah above whatever they associate with him. He is Allah, the creator, the inventor, the fashioner. To him belong the best names. Whatever in the heavens and earth is exalting him, and he is the exalted in might, the wise. This is Allah whom Muslims worship. He is the one that responds to the caller. He is the one that responds to the people who are distressed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ قَلِيلًا مَّا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Or, who answers the distressed when he calls upon him and relieves the affliction and has made you successors on the earth? Is there another God with Allah? No, not indeed. But most of them do not know. No, indeed, there is no God with Allah. But most of them do not know. What is the meaning of La ilaha illallah? I as a Muslim, passing by a mosque or my home or my factory or at work, and I hear La ilaha illallah, what should it mean to me as a Muslim, practically speaking? Remember, what we are saying is that we need to realize that the Adhan should really be impacting our life. It should really be impacting our behaviors and manners. It is a correction. It is a call for correction and not only just a reminder. When I as a Muslim hear La ilaha illallah, it means to me that there is no master for me in this universe. There is no God and there is no Lord in this entire universe other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should mean to me that I am not a slave of anyone in this entire universe except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should mean to me that my yaqeen, my belief with certainty as a Muslim, that no one can ever cause me any harm in this universe without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one can give me any benefit in this entire universe except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It also means that my yaqeen, my belief with certainty in this life is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and not on the material things. The Muslim takes the measures in life that he is supposed to take. يأخذ بالأسباب. He takes the measures as much as he can and then after that puts his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Muslim believes that the material things on their own neither benefit nor harm, but it is Allah who makes the material things benefit or not benefit. It is not your job that benefit you or not benefit you. It is Allah that can make your job benefit you or not benefit you. It is not your children who would benefit you or not benefit you in the old age, but it is Allah who is controlling the hearts of your children. He either guides them to what you would like for them to be doing, or maybe he allows them to go astray. Everybody's heart is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Muslim, in his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he believes that nothing can harm except with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see that from the stories of the prophets. We learn that from the stories of the prophets. The story of Prophet Ibrahim, may Allah be pleased with him, when he brought the knife and he wanted to slaughter his son Ismail. Here, Prophet Ibrahim tried to imagine that scene. His son, a teenage, and he is running that knife along his neck. That sharp knife, which he sharpened it, so it just cuts that throat quickly and his son wouldn't suffer. That sharp knife running across the neck of Ismail causes no harm. Causes no harm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had withdrawn the power of cutting from the steel. The steel, which has a natural physical character, that once it sharpens, it cuts the flesh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withdrew that physical property from the steel and the knife was as harmless as it could be. We could also learn that from the story of Prophet Yunus when he was thrown in the sea and the whale swallowed him. Not even a single bone to Prophet Yunus alayhi salam was crushed and not even a single scratch was caused to his flesh. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow the stomach of the whale to impact in any harmful way Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. This is the belief with certainty. In dealing with things, our trust is not on the material things. It's not in this riyal or dollar. It is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The slavery of the Muslim to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means Al-Ubudiyya. What does Ubudiyya lillah mean? Slavery to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean? It means ultimate obedience. Ultimate obedience. But not only ultimate obedience alone. Because you could ultimately obey somebody while you're really not liking him. You're really forced to do it. No. Al-Ubudiyya lillah. Slavery to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means ultimate obedience combined with ultimate love. This is what true slavery to Allah means. When you are obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you are obeying the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how difficult they may be for you, there may be other easier shortcuts for you. But you go to the command where you are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite the fact that it might be causing some hardship on you, but you are doing that with love. Because you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with love. You are a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should reflect on your dealings with everything that is around you. Should reflect on anything that relates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can anybody tell me anything that does not relate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the universe? Nothing. There is nothing in this entire universe that does not relate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what created everything in this universe. This is why your love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should reflect on everything. In your dealings with people, your dealing with wife, your children, with the Muslims, with the non-Muslims, with the animals, with the plants, with the stones, with the environment. Your love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be seen. Non-Muslims watching you, they should see the impact of your love on everything that's around you. And as a result, they should be impacted by your love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, positively impacted, to the extent that they can only help but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. In fact, this is already something as humans we observe. The ancient Arab Bedouin, the ancient simple Arab Bedouin, with his simplicity, he said a poem describing his love to the woman that he loved. He said, أحبها وأحب كل من يحبها ويحب ناقتها بعيري. He said, I love her and I love everybody that loves her, and my camel fell in love with her she camel. It runs in the family. Even his camel got impacted by his love to that woman, and then his camel fell in love with the she camel of the woman that he loved. So as a Muslim, brothers, the non-Muslims observing us, they should realize what our love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is impacting us. How it's impacting us. That you are loving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are dealing with mercy with the people because of the love subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are forgiving people. You are forgiving people because you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how we should be seen, brothers and sisters. The Muslim who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be seen that he is seeking in whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, the home of the hereafter. Because this is the time when he will be actually meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Al-Jannah, we are promised in paradise that we will be seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one day he will be asking all of the people of Jannah, of paradise, to come for a visit and to gather for a visit. And in that visit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals himself to everybody. And when they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the joy and the pleasure and the happiness that they would feel as a result of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overshadows all the joys and pleasures that they had seen in Jannah. This is why the Muslim is aiming for that day. And he seeks in whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him the home of the hereafter. The Muslim who believes in La ilaha illallah, that there is none worthy of worship except Allah. And remember, worship meaning obedience and ultimate love together. He believes that all of Allah's promises are true. He believes that Hayat al-Qabr, Hayat al-Barzakh, the grave life is true. He believes in the grave of life, in the life of the grave. He believes in the day of resurrection, that it is truth. He believes that there will be a reckoning, there will be taking of account one day for everybody in that lived on this earth. That the good doers will be going to paradise and the bad doers will be punished in hell. He believes that the Jannah, paradise, is truth, and he believes that the hellfire is truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us to say, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَٰلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us to say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us how to thank Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us how to worship Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us how to express our love to Him. What words should we use to express our love to Him so that we wouldn't go astray. And this is what happened to other religions. Everybody was dreaming ways in which he expresses his love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and behaviors and actions, and they just went astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us how to love him, how to call him, how to express our sincerity of love to him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, surely my prayer and my devotion, my life and my death are all for Allah, the Lord of the world, the Lord of the worlds. No partner has he, and this is what I have been commanded, and I the first of those who are Muslim. Not associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very important thing in Islam. The most important thing in Islam is for a person not to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, as far as the Muslims are concerned, we are not really afraid for the Muslims to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the meaning of direct worship. Somebody can associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he physically worships, he prays to those partners. For Muslims, we're not really afraid of that anymore. As far as the Muslims, we had already gotten rid of that 1,400 years ago, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims, when they entered Mecca, when they physically destroyed the 360 idols that were around the Kaaba, also the idols that were in the Arabs' hearts were also destroyed. For a Muslim, he would no longer accept that Allah is three, or Allah is so many, and I have to pray, or that he has to pray to a stone, or he has to pray to a tree. This is already beyond us. This is, the Muslims are already completely cured from that. But what we are afraid for the Muslims is the indirect association of partners. It's the indirect one. Meaning that if you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey the orders of somebody else, then this is as if you are really magnifying that over and above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is an indirect association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is really what we are urging the Muslims all the time to be careful of. Don't let anybody in your heart be greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all, because you then be afraid that you are indirectly associating partners, associating equivalents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity carries with it a promise that you are going to be to enter al-Jannah insha'Allah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من قال لا إله إلا الله مخلصا دخل الجنة. قيل وما إخلاصها؟ قال أن تحجزه عن محارم الله. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever says لا إله إلا الله sincerely, he will be admitted al-Jannah, paradise. And they said, the Sahaba, the companion said, and what is actually its sincerity? What's the demonstration of its sincerity? How do we judge if he's sincere or not? He said, the indication of its sincerity in his heart, that it stops him from transgressing against Allah's commands. It stops him from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you are truly having La ilaha illallah in your heart, and you believe in it with certainty, then it stops you short of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't deal wrongly with people. You don't oppress people. You don't oppress your wife. You don't mistreat your children. You take care of your parents. You don't mistreat your parents. You live in this life, an honest life. You deal with everybody else, Muslims and non-Muslims, with love and mercy. With that, you are not transgressing against anyone, neither Muslim or non-Muslim. You're not even transgressing against animals or plants. Because then, if you do so, you would be spreading corruption on earth. And the Muslim is the last person to cause any corruption on earth. What is the yaqeen, brothers and sisters? When we say belief with certainty, when we talk about La ilaha illallah, that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can only talk about yaqeen, about belief with certainty. What is this yaqeen? The yaqeen, as the scholars say, it is a high ranking of Iman, faith. Meaning, it is one of the fruits of Iman, one of the fruits of faith. And this Iman, this yaqeen, does not really come into your life only through reading books. Reading the books about yaqeen is important, and it is necessary, and it is required. But yaqeen does not rest in your heart only through that. Yaqeen requires also practice. If somebody, for example, just to give an example, he wants to swim, and then you can give him a book about swimming. He studies that book and passes A with an A grade with the examination. He studied it. He knows everything about swimming. And then you say, fine, push him in the deep, push him in the water. And now say, swim. Will he swim? No, he won't. He will drown. Why? Because he did not practice what he read, what he learned. This is why the yaqeen will not come into your heart unless you actually train yourself. Observe yourself. Say, if I'm put in a situation where somebody makes me angry, this is the time when I want to demonstrate my yaqeen. Meaning that I want to hold back myself. Restrain myself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm going to tell my inner self, calm down. Allah is greater. Calm down. This is how you can practice yaqeen physically. Without practicing yaqeen in a practical way, just pure reading will not get you there. And also, to acquire yaqeen, you have to be changing your environment. You look at what environment you are in. If you are amongst an environment or companions that are really driving you away from iman, remember, yaqeen is a high ranking of iman. If they are making you to gather social gatherings that would really weaken your iman, then you need to change your environment. This is the way, brothers and sisters, that you can demonstrate to yourself that you are indeed going after this yaqeen to make it rest in your heart. And when you hear the muadhin, when you hear the caller to the prayer saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, you remember that this for me means that I have ultimate obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ultimate love, and I'm going to make His orders over and above anything else in my heart. The yaqeen, translating in practice in your life, will make you realize that if you have 100 riyals and then you pay charity of it, and then 100 riyals become 97 and a half, that in your heart you would have the feeling and the belief that the 97 and a half are more worth for you than the 100. For you, the 97 and a half is more than the 100. It changes all of the rules of mathematics for you. It makes you, when you observe somebody putting his 100 riyals in riba, in investment of riba, usury, and then they became 110. For you watching that situation, you know, my 97 and a half riyals, the 100, taking the 2.5 zakat, the 97 and a half is more than the 110. It makes you feel happiness when you are giving charity to people. This is the demonstration of yaqeen in one's hearts, brothers and sisters. I say this, brothers and sisters, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst His righteous slaves who listen to the speech and follow the gist of it. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلنا من عباد الرحمن الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه أولئك الذين هداهم الله وأولئك هم أولو الألباب. Seek Allah's forgiveness. He shall be responding to you. Alhamdulillah, all praises due to Allah, Ghafir al-Dhamb, forgiver of sin, Waqabir al-Tawb, acceptor of repentance, Shadid al-Aqab, severe in punishment, the Tawl, owner of abundance, La ilaha illa huwa ilayhi al-Masir, there is no God except Him, to Him is the destiny. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah, and I bear witness that there is no God except Allah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, and I bear witness that there is that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. May Allah be pleased with him. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man taba'ahum bi ihsani ila yawm al-deen. And may Allah be pleased with his family and his companions and whoever follows them with goodness until the day of judgment. Brothers and sisters, If we observe the followers of La ilaha illallah, the followers of La ilaha illallah, and that could be people amongst us here, actually have split themselves into three groups. There is one group that believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believed in La ilaha illallah, and accepted it. But they do not want to obey its commands. They do not want to obey it. They just have La ilaha illallah, they believe in it, but they just don't want to follow the do's and don'ts that follow from that. And those are actually considered al-usa, the disobedient people. This is one category of Muslims. There is another category that actually believed in La ilaha illallah, and they implemented it, but only on themselves. Only on themselves. They care to implement it only on themselves. You find him a good man, he goes to the prayer 5 times a day in the mosque. He's doing everything that he's supposed to do, but yet, if you look at his wife, at his children, you don't really see any sign of following Islam on his family. This actually is a quite dangerous thing for any Muslim to have, because in the Day of Judgment, he is going to be held accountable for his family. And it appears to be that quite a majority of Muslims belong to this category. If he decides to obey and follow, he's just restricting that to himself. He could have a 16 or 17 year old son that he doesn't even bother to wake him up for the Fajr prayer. He could have a wife maybe that doesn't pray, and he doesn't even care to urge her with goodness and with love and with leniency to make her pray. He doesn't even drive her to love Islam for the sake of his love, that she loved him so much to the extent that she loved Islam for him. She loved Salah for him. There is a third group that have believed in La ilaha illallah, and I hope that every single one here is belonging to that group. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes every single person here belonging to that group, that he believed in Allah subhanahu in La ilaha illallah, and he implemented it on himself, and he took upon his shoulders that he is going to go and apply corrective actions to the other two groups with love and leniency, of course. That he's taken upon his shoulders that he is going to practice da'wah. He is going to go for da'wah for the first group and make them get La ilaha illallah become in practice in their life, and urge the other group to actually spread this faith that they have in their heart to the rest of their families. And then we go in circles, the family, the neighborhood, the town, until we cover the entire world. Because we are brothers and sisters responsible for all of the human beings on this earth. There are no prophets after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the da'wah did not die. The call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not die. In fact, it has spread amongst billions, millions, hundreds of millions of Muslims, that each and every one of them should be doing the job of the Prophet to the best of his capability and to the best of his knowledge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who listen to the speech and follow the best of it. I'm going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so respond by saying Ameen. Allahumma inna nad'uka kama amartana fastajib lana kama wa'adtana ya rabbal alameen. Allah, our Lord, we are supplicating to you and asking you as you have ordered us, so please answer our call and respond to our invocation as you have promised us. Allah, our Lord, guide us to the straight way, the way of those on whom you have bestowed your grace, not the way of those who earned your anger, nor of those who went astray. Allah, make us of those who perform as salat, and also from our offsprings, our Lord, and accept our invocation. Allah, guide non-Muslims to Islam. Allah, guide non-Muslims to Islam. And make the life of the Muslims, their conduct and their manners, be the best representation of the good life, conduct, and manners of Islam that please you. You are the Almighty, All-Wise. I say this And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow His peace and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Wa sallallahu ala abdika wa rasulika Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allah confers His blessings. Allah confers His blessings upon the Prophet and His angels. Ask Him to do so. O you who believe, do likewise. Waqim as-salah.